Israelites were filled with fright as Goliath started toward them. Compared to man, his giant stood so tall. But David said, "My God has led me here to defeat him. So don't compare him to me, let's compare him to God. When compared to God, everything's small. There's no giant that compares at all to the Holy One who sits upon his throne. So when you come to face a mountain so high, when glimpse of God brings it down to size, Satan will flee, you'll gain victory when you compare it to God.
Oh, my friend, do you fear within as your giant marches closer? Do you know within your heart you cannot win?
Just have the faith of David's day and shout, my God is bigger. You'll find there's nothing on earth that compares to him. When compared to God, everything's small. There's no giant that compares at all to the Holy One who sits upon his throne. So when you come to face a mountain so high, one glimpse of God brings it down to size. Satan will flee, you'll gain victory when you compare it to God. So when you come to face a mountain so high, one glimpse of God brings it down to size. Satan will flee, you'll gain victory when you compare it to God. Satan will flee, you'll gain victory when you compare it to God.
Blessing. I enjoyed that. Where's David? Where's David? He's not feeling well. Oh, I'm sorry. Man, I missed my little friend. David's my buddy. We get to talk sometimes on Sunday afternoon. I'm just glad you didn't leave him out on purpose. And if you did, I was going to invite him to sing with me. And that wouldn't be very good. Luke chapter 5. Find it in your Bible there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Third gospel. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Thank you for the good song. I didn't hear it well back here. Did you hear it well out there? Not good. I didn't think so. Something was bad wrong. Maybe the mics weren't on, but we'll get that fixed. And struggling with this a little bit, we'll get this squared away this week, hopefully. All right. Luke, chapter 5. Let's stand together, and if you're able to, in honor of God's Word. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. We don't do this every week, but let's read responsively down through verse number 6, okay? Luke chapter 5, I'll read verse 1. Please join me on the even-numbered verses down through 6. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And I want to speak to you on the subject, following Jesus all in. Following Jesus all in. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the service this morning. Speak to our hearts now, please. I pray, Lord, that we would discipline our mind to put aside things that are pressing, things that are important. But, Lord, for a little while, we could set those aside to concentrate on your book, on truth. And so, Holy Spirit, would you fill both speaker and listener Help us all this morning to be helped by this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. There's a trendy statement being used these days to describe the subject of commitment. And the phrase that's being used is all in. All in. You probably have heard that recently. All in. You know, the meaning of the little two-word phrase all in has changed over the years. It used to mean worn out and tired. I'm all in. I'm tired, worn out. All right. It also meant that the price charged for something was all inclusive. So if you paid $991 for it, it was all in for $991. But more recently, it has come to mean totally committed. Some of the sports teams around the nation are using it to define their commitment to winning. Some business might use it as a slogan for their business for the year. We're all in. We're all in. We're committed. We're involved in this lock, stock, and barrel. So the best way, if I can say this today, the best way to follow Christ is to be all in. It's to be all in. That's the way that leads to the greatest blessing. I do want to say this, be honest with people. Some folks new to salvation, new to Christ. It may be the most costly way for a child of God, but it always yields the best results. I wouldn't tell you that it won't cost you to follow Christ. It does. But it's the best return. The yield is the best. And so the best way to follow Him, if you're going to follow Him, just follow Him all in. In our text, the disciples learned the importance of following Christ with the all-in attitude. Look at verse number 1. Just going to kind of burn down through these and then bring you some lessons this morning. Jesus is standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret is another name for Galilee. So the same sea that we're well familiar with, Sea of Galilee. He's standing on the shore. And verses 2 and 3 tells us that there's a couple of boats nearby where he's standing. They're empty because the fishermen were gone out of the boat and washing their nets. There was a reason for that. They'd been fishing all night. They were cleaning up from a night of fishing, a night which yielded no fish. Now, I am more of a hunter than a fisher. It's a funny thing about me. Maybe some of you are like this. I can sit in a tree stand in a blind for 3 hours, not see anything, and I have the time of my life. If I throw 3 hooks in the water and don't catch anything, I'm bored. But I'm just more of a hunter than a fisher. So all night, these guys had fished, and they had caught nothing. And so now they're out washing their nets, cleaning up for the day. One of the boats that was empty belonged to Simon Peter. And Jesus asked him, Simon, can I use your boat? And Simon says, sure. So Jesus gets in the boat. Simon gets in the boat. And he said, would you just push away from the shore a little ways? And so it pushes out in the lake there a little ways from the shore. And there was a reason for that. There was a multitude of people who were gathering around Christ to hear Him preach, to hear Him teach, to get His truth. And going out on the water in the boat put a little distance between Jesus and all the people. And you know what it did? It allowed for His voice to travel. Sound travels over water. It does. By the way, if you read the Gospels, you'll find Jesus, when He's teaching and preaching multitudes, He's always putting Himself in a position where He can be heard. Maybe He's sat on the hillside like an amphitheater. There's a reason why preachers are a little bit particular about sound. You got to hear to get help. You got to hear to get help. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How many times did Jesus say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? Okay, so if you want the thing to be right, you want the sound to be right. And Jesus, more often than not, put Himself in a position where He could be heard. So that's what He does here. Backs off the shore, sound travels over water. They could hear Him better that way. That's in 2 and 3. Now, verse number 4, when Jesus finished teaching, He turned to Simon. Simon's in the boat with Him. And He says, okay, Simon, He said, what I want you to do is launch out into the deep and let down your nets, and you're going to catch a ton of fish. By the way, He asked Simon if he could get in the boat and Simon could go out into the water, but He didn't ask him to do this. He told him to do this. He said, that's what I want you to do. Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a drought. You're going to catch a ton of fish. Now, people remember, they had just finished. These are commercial fishermen. Peter's life was fishing. They had just fished all night. They had caught nothing. So let me ask you a question, fellas. If you'd fished all night and caught nothing, and then this man tells you, go back out into the deep, put your nets down, and you're going to catch a ton of fish. What would you think? How would you feel? You know, we read the Bible like it's Jack and the Beanstalk. No, that didn't really happen. This really happened. This is happening, okay? So this is what's going on here. So push out. He said, I want you to go out there, let down your nets, you're going to catch a ton of fish. Verse number 5. Look at, hey, I didn't read the others. Let's read verse 5 again. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So although he was tired, Peter did not want to disrespect the Lord. He told Jesus, you know, Lord, we fished pretty hard all night, and we came up empty handed. But then Peter said something very wise. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net because you told me to. And verse 6 tells us that Peter let down the net, and when he did, he caught a multitude of fishes, so much so that the net broke. Now, this incident took place very early in the public ministry of Jesus Christ. He had called Peter and the others to follow him. So Peter's just getting started in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know we got, you know, there was a day when Terry Angel just got started in his relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a day when you got started with your relationship with Jesus Christ. There are folks here who are just getting started in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And whether we have been following Jesus for quite some time or are just getting started, I want to point out some helpful lessons for us to learn from this story. Three of them. Number one, it is always wise to obey Jesus' word. Always wise. Okay? I'm not going to reread verse number 5. That's where Peter told him, nevertheless, at thy word. Pushing out into the deep water and letting down the nets probably did not make any sense to Peter. They had been fishing all night. They'd already gone over. Fellas, many of you guys fish. You ever fished a lake or a pond? I went down with Scott Netterville here about 2 years ago down to a lake in Effingham that he has permission to fish. And we got in the boat. We just started around. You know, we just went around and then just fishing up against the bank. And so Peter and his fellow, the other fellas, they probably had been over this part of the water already. They caught nothing. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever fished commercially by way of a large net. Have any of you fellas ever fished with net fishing? I don't mean I'm talking about net fishing. Noise has, okay? And I wouldn't call myself, Jim Statz and his brother Bill Statz was a commercial fisherman on the Mississippi River. And Bill was gone, and Bill had some traps in the water, and he also had some nets. And Bill had to be gone for a couple of days, so he said to his brother, Jim, he said, would you run my traps and check my nets for me? And Jim was a member at the church there. He said, hey, Brother Terry, you want to go with me? And I'd love to go. So we went down to the Mississippi, and I spent a day with Jim. And, things are a lot more technologically advanced today than they were in Peter's day. But there was still a way of pulling those traps in. They had contraptions and motors and everything. It's for Peter and these men back then, fishing with nets was hard work. Incredibly hard work. So here they are, and it's discouraging when your net is completely empty over and over again. It's discouraging. So Peter was skeptical. Did Jesus know anything about fishing? They had already covered that part of the lake. It was probably by this time mid to late morning. You guys that fish, that's not the best time of the day to fish. Mid to late morning. And the best time for fishing was long past. There were multiple reasons that Peter could have just politely said, that's okay, I'm going to go just back to shore. But there was one reason. One really good reason. One overwhelmingly good reason to do what Jesus said to do. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. This wasn't some other fisherman, some wannabe prophet, some know-it-all bystander. This was Jesus. And people, if you're going to take somebody's word for something, then by all means, don't hesitate to take Jesus' his word. That we live in a world of suspicion. We don't know who to trust. Fauci? Who do we trust? Politicians? Weathermen? Who do you trust? Preachers? Who do you trust? I can point you to one that you can trust. You can take his word for it. Base your life on it. That great prophet Elijah stood on Mount Carmel against 850 false prophets of Baal. Remember that story? If you're not familiar with it, you know, there was this division in Israel. We're going to serve Jehovah, God. We're going to serve Baal, and back and forth and back and forth. And Elijah got them all up on the mountain and said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? You jump back and forth like a bunch of tiddlywinks. We're going to serve Jehovah, God. Now this, we're going to serve Baal. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? He said, let's have a contest. Let's build an altar. Put a sacrifice on it. The prophet to Baal will pray. I will pray. They'll pray to Baal. I'll pray to Jehovah God, the God that answers by fire. Let him be God. Yeah, that's great. So the 850 prophets of Baal go first. For hours upon hours, they screamed, they jumped, they cut themselves until they bled. They begged, they pleaded, they prayed for Baal to answer with fire. Nothing. Nothing. You're not going to get an answer from a false god. Not going to happen. They're done. They're worn out. They're gassed. So Elijah says, okay, my turn. He repairs the altar that was broken down because they'd been jumping all over it and broke the thing down. He put the wood in order, the Bible says. He put the sacrifice on the wood. And then, incredibly, he dug a trench around the altar. And there were barrels nearby, and he had them fill four barrels with water, and dump those barrels on the sacrifice. Then he had them do it a second time, and he had them do it a third time. 4 times 3 is 12. 12 barrels of water dumped on the sacrifice that was supposed to be consumed by... You ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? The altar's drenched. The trench is full of water. The sacrifice is drenched. The wood is soaked. And 850 prophets of Baal and all the Israelites were standing around watching Elijah do all this. It had already been decided the God who was going to answer by fire would be the true God. And Elijah just got done soaking the sacrifice with water. And then Elijah began to pray. And we're not going to turn there for sake of time. Let me quote his prayer to you. Can I? Just a few words. God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. Here it is. And that I have done all these things at thy word. At God's word. And when Elijah finished praying, the fire came out of heaven, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stones, and licked up all the water. Pouring that water on the sacrifice, pouring that water on the wood, had made absolutely no sense at all to anyone, maybe including Elijah, but he had done what he had done at God's word. This is what God has told me to do. And so did Peter here in Luke 5. And in both cases, wonderful things happened as a result of just taking God at his word. For Peter, they caught fish. For Elijah, the fire fell. Now, I want to admit something this morning. There are some things about following Christ that may seem very strange to someone who's just been saved. It may seem strange to devote every Sunday to church and put other things second so that you can be in services. It may seem strange to read a book you don't completely understand and read from it every day. It may seem strange to pray to a God you cannot see. It may seem strange to give money that you need to a God who owns everything. But when you are doing those things because God told you to do them, you're not making a mistake. People, you never go wrong when you do things at His word. Never. Obedience to the word of God is the route to blessing in this life. It's always best just to obey God even when it doesn't make any sense to us. But I just fished there. Because you said it, I'll put it in. Amen. Some of God's people think they don't need a second service on Sunday. So why go back to church on Sunday night? While others realize what God has said about not forsaking the assembling, and so much the more as we get closer to the coming of Christ. So they go to service anytime the doors are open at His word. Amen. At His word. Some of God's people think the church that they attend has enough money, so they decide to send their tithe somewhere else that they think needs it worse. If God only knew that some churches just don't need as much offering as others, then He would not expect the offering to go to the church that they attend, while other people just faithfully give the tithe to the church they attend at His word. At His word. Some of God's people think that it's the pastors, evangelists, and missionaries who are supposed to witness for Christ. Isn't that the reason they're in the ministry? Others faithfully witness, give out tracts to lost people at His word. And folks, on and on and on I could go this morning. It's always best. It's always wise to obey Jesus' word, regardless if we see the sense in it, if we see the necessity of it or not. And I'll promise you, you give yourself, you get all in on this, you get all in on obeying Jesus at His word, and it won't be long till you're seeing the benefit of it. And you say, that doesn't make sense now. This makes perfect sense. It's always wise to obey Jesus' word. All right? Now, number two, it is always wise to be all in when following Christ. Okay? Now, this is a little bit different than the one I just gave you. Look at verse 4 and 5 again because it's interesting here. Look at the last thing Jesus told Simon in verse 4. He said, let down your, what's the next word, church? Nets. Is that singular or plural? Plural. Peter responded in verse number five, at thy word I will let down the, that's what? So Jesus said, throw them all in. What did Simon do? He went part way. It's kind of like, okay, to humor you, I'm going to give this a try. And he threw one at him. Peter did not, if I can say it this way, he didn't intentionally disobey Christ. He just didn't fully obey Christ. He didn't go all in on his obedience. You see, Peter had decided that he was not going to catch any fish. There's no way I'm going to catch any fish. I've done this all night. But just to humor the Lord, again, I'm just going to let down one net. Here's the thing, folks. There was no way for Peter to know what Jesus was going to do for him. Because Jesus planned for something great, Peter planned for something much less. And you know what I don't want? I don't want some of you folks to miss out on what's great that's planned for you and settle for what's less. You know, when we start following Christ, it is impossible for us to have any idea just what He has planned for our life. And the only way not to miss out on anything that He has planned for us is just be all in when following Him. Don't miss out on what Christ has planned for your life by just putting in one net. You'll miss out if you don't fully. All in. All in. All in. And I was thinking this week again, for some reason, I'm not sure why it came to my mind. But at some point, I know it was D.L. Moody. I was talking in the message about D.L. Moody getting saved, one of the messages there at the church in Mississippi. And I got to thinking about D.L. Moody again. And my wife have been to Boston and stood outside on the sidewalk where they say the shoe store was, where Moody worked as an 18-year-old boy. And Ed Kimball, the Sunday school teacher, came and he walked up and down along the sidewalk there, trying to get up enough courage to witness to this 18-year-old boy who had visited his Sunday school class. And he finally got up enough courage, and Moody came out, Dwight Lyman. I don't know if Dwight got saved on the sidewalk or if he got saved sometime after that, but Dwight Moody got saved, and he got eaten up for the Lord. And after he got saved, he heard a preacher say in a service that the world has never seen what God could do with a man who is completely sold out to the Lord. And man, that stirred him. And he set out to be, I'm going to be that. I want to be that man completely sold out to the Lord. All in. And if you know the story of Moody, you understand. He came to Chicago and he started a great Sunday school ministry up there. You know what they used to do in Moody's day? This is back in the 1800s. You guys have those buses. They run all over the city. And, you know, Sunday morning, I got a call not long ago. I am so tired of hearing your diesel engine at 8:30 Sunday morning. And then you've got the backup button on reverse. Beep, beep, beep. I got this phone call. I took it on Sunday afternoon. Very encouraging phone call. Truth of the matter is, folks, I get it. I wouldn't appreciate a diesel engine outside my house at 8:30 on Sunday morning if I was not in church and unsaved, you know. But, you know, Moody got horses and wagons. And they went around the city of Chicago up here in late 1800s. And guess what Moody did? I'll give these guys, you give these kids a piece of bubble gum for coming to church. Well, Moody promised to buy a suit for the boys that came so many weeks to his Sunday school. I guess we're a pretty good company. In fact, maybe we're not even doing what we should do. And by the way, they didn't have diesel engines to contend with, but those horses left behind their mark. You can have oil spots on the parking lot, or you can have... Take your pick. They built that Sunday school. They built that humongous church. The Great Chicago Fire destroyed it completely. His house and his church, Falwell Hall too. Moody traveled all over America. He traveled across the Atlantic Ocean to England with Ira Sankey, the song leader. They went to the Gypsy Forest outside, called the Black Forest, outside of London, where the gypsies were. Everybody said, stay away from them. He and Sankey went out there and he preached and Sankey sang. They were getting in their carriage, done with the meeting, getting in the carriage, and little boy standing there, and Ira Sankey reached his hand out, put his hand on the little boy's head. He was 9 years old. Said, God, please save this little boy. Call him to preach. And Lord, if you let me live long enough to know that he preached, I sure would appreciate it. Got in the carriage. Years later, Sankey is dying in his home, bedridden. A knock on the door. The attendant went to the door. a man standing there. Is Mr. Sankey here? I'd like to see him. He's very sick. I came all the way from England. I'd like to see him. And so the attendant took the man from England into the room where Sankey was. And he said, Mr. Sankey, you said, when I was 9 years old in the Black Forest outside of London, you put your hand on my head. You prayed that God would save me and call me to preach. My name's Gypsy Smith. I've been preaching now for years and years. Great revivalist. Moody was used to bring revival to America, revival to England. Came back, went to his home place there at his home, Northfield, Massachusetts, and started that great revival conference center and seminary. And toward the end of his life, Moody's dying. And he said, and I quote, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man sold out completely to the Lord." So with all Moody did, he knew that there was still some reservation in his heart. You know what Moody did? He let down nets. He didn't stop with just one. And I'm looking around this room this morning, and I'm not here to pull you up by your bootstraps, give you some kind of little pep rally, little emotional, psychological burst of that won't last 30 minutes after you leave. I'm here to give you Bible truth this morning. There's no telling what God could do with some of you folk if you would do more than just let down one net for the Lord. Get all in. Get all in following Jesus. Have some of the things I've heard, some of the things over. I know sometimes it doesn't make sense. Go back and fish where you've just fished all night and caught nothing. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But give Him your life. Give Him your whole life. And don't stop with just one net. Put all of them in because you have no idea what He has planned for your life. Why miss out on it? Why miss out on it? You have no idea what He has planned for your marriage, your family, your home, how God uses you in His work, His ministry. Put all the nets in. Whole hog. Sold out. Don't drop one net in. Put them all in. Put them all in. So let me say thirdly this morning that obeying Jesus fully will keep things from breaking. In verse number 6, because they let down one net and that multitude of fish swam into it, they began pulling them in and that net broke. And they had to call for another ship to try to get those fish in the boat. So the net they put into the water broke. They tried to catch with one net all the fish that Jesus designed to be caught with several nets. If they had obeyed Him fully, none of the nets would have broken. Do you want your marriage to last? Obey Jesus fully. Do you want to have a home full of God's blessings? Obey Jesus fully. Do you want to see the power of God in your life and in the life of your family? Obey Jesus fully. Do you want to have your needs met? Obey Jesus fully. Do you want peace, joy, and fulfillment in life? Obey Jesus fully. Don't be a one-net Christian. Live a net's Christian life. Let down the net of your marriage. Let down the net of your family. Let down the net of your work. Let down the net of your finances. Let down the net of your relationships. Let down the net of your thought life and the net of your entertainment and the net of your vocabulary and the net of your social media. Go all in for Christ. Obey Him fully. And you're going to reduce the chances of things breaking. I did not say that it would be easy. I said at the very beginning of this, following Jesus all in is costly. You got to give some things up, change some things, get rid of this, put this in its place. But you'll stand a much better chance of things not breaking if you just go all in for Christ. Fully. Fully obedient. I'll end with a story that's familiar to you from the Old Testament. The book of Joshua. Joshua takes the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, grapes as big as basketballs. And the first city they come to is what? Jericho. Okay, Joshua, here's how it's going to happen. I want you to take all the Israelites. I want you to put the priests there, put the Israelites behind them, give the priests the trumpets and the Israelites behind them. I want you to walk around the walls, walk around the entire city one time. I want you to do that for 6 days. On the seventh day, you walk around it seven times. At the end of the seventh time, have the priests blow the trumpet. The people shout, and the walls are going to fall flat. These were impenetrable walls. These were walls so wide that 3 and 4 and 5 chariots could ride abreast around the top of them. That's a thick wall, folks. So they got an army of Israelite soldiers, and they're not going to go to war with a spear. They're not going to go to war with a bow and arrow. They're not going to go to war with any kind of weaponry whatsoever. They're going to go to war with a trumpet. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. Okay, folks, day 7, here we go. Put your walking shoes on. We're going around 7 times. The end of the 7th time, priests are going to blow the trumpet. You shout. We'll see what God said will happen. They get to the end of that 7th time. The priests blow the trumpet. The people shout. And the walls came a-tumbling down, just like he said. 7th day, 7 times, just random numbers. 7 in the Bible is a number of what? Completion. You know what Joshua and the children of Israel did? They obeyed God fully. Fully. Do you believe if they said, man, mine is lap number 5. This is enough. You think those walls would have fallen? 6? 6.5? When you go all in, when you obey fully, when you take him at his word and throw the nets of your life in, you're going to see God do some wonderful things. It's called following Christ all in. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, would you please use the message this morning to speak to the hearts of your people. Thank you for the privilege of being here, for truth, for your word. And now, God, we just pray that your spirit will drive the word, the truth, deep down in our hearts today. I needed this message. You preached it to me before I preached it to them. It's always a fight to hold back on one net. But help us to throw them all in. To be fully committed, dedicated to following you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who's sitting here this morning can say, Brother Angel, I know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know that I will have a home in heaven, have a Bible reason for that. I'm saved and I know it. If you could raise your hand to that, if you could say that this morning as a testimony, you're saved and you know it. Thank you. Amen. Now, for those who just raised a hand, what about being all in? You got a net in the boat? You got 2 nets in the boat? What about being all in for Christ? Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart specifically. I got a reserve on some nets in my life, and I need to get them all in. And God spoke to me about that this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you're sitting this morning? Be honest about it. Be honest about it. Great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Take your hands down. I'm with you. Just because I'm a pastor, been saved for this many years and preaching for this many years, doesn't mean that I'm not tempted to hold back on a net or two. I want to be all in for Christ. Anybody else say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just then. I should have. I held back. But I should have raised my hand. Can I see that hand now? Anybody else like that? Yes. Amen. Somebody else? Yes. Yes. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. Okay? That's where this all begins. Following Christ doesn't start until you trust Him. Come to Him by faith, trusting His death, burial, and resurrection to save you from your sin. And so if some of this didn't make sense this morning, maybe you're not saved. Maybe that's where it is. If you're not saved, we can take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. All you need to do is just a moment when people come forward, they'll come to pray, see one of these men down here and tell them, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. I have no idea, but I'd like to know. Ladies will speak to ladies, men will speak to men. We can take a Bible and show you how you can know heaven is your home. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Is there anybody here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand a little bit ago, but I want to raise it now. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to pray that God will speak to your heart. Anybody like that here this morning? Slip your hand in the air while nobody's looking but me. Side to side, front to back. Small child. Amen. Father, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Would you help us to be all in following you? Help us not to reserve a net or two or three, but to put them all in every area of our life. And God, you will bless us. You see some wonderful things happen. You have great plans for so many people in this room, things you want to do through their life, but their nets have to be in the water. And you spoke to many of us this morning. God, please help us to be obedient even now, invitation time. Be all in during this invitation. Pray for anybody here today that's not been saved, that God, you'd speak to their heart, draw them to Christ. We ask it in Christ's name. If you're here today, you came to be baptized, now is the time to come or join the church. You can talk to one of these men about it. Let's stand together. Let's obey the Lord. The invitation music begins. The altar is open. Don't hesitate to use it. Let God speak to your heart. Would you come and be saved today? If you're not sure you're saved, would you come and be saved? Got a net? Got a net or two? You can't go around the wall six times when God said go seven.